For the rest of us, we're going to go into deception, part three in our series on deception. Our text today will come from Nehemiah 6. That's where we've been at, but we're going to be focusing on verses 5 through 9. We'll be reading them. In part two of our series on deception, we focused on deception that causes us to compromise our biblical convictions. In this, part three of our series, we are going to focus on deception that comes through slander. The enemy works things out and brings slander through people to try to get us to derail from the plan, from the path that God has for our lives. And so we're going to talk about that today, and we're going to see the examples in Scripture. So, and we're going to read quite a bit of Scripture too, because you know what? The more the Scripture preaches, the less I got to preach. Really. When it comes down to it, it really don't matter what I have to say. What matters is what God has to say. Amen? So Nehemiah 6, verses 5 through 9 says, "Then the fifth time Sanballat sent his aid to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, 'It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it's true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king, and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. This is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king, so come, let us confer together.' I sent them this reply, 'Nothing like what you say is happening. You are just making it up out of your head.' They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, 'Now strengthen my hands.'" Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that for such a time as this, for this time this morning, that you would unpack your word to us, Lord God, that you will just open up our minds and our hearts and make them receptive for the seed of your word. Watch over your word to perform it, Lord. Lord, put your hand on me, that I would only speak the words you ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So slander, you see it in the passage we read, right? You see it. What they were basically saying is, we'll tell everybody about you. If you don't do what we want you to do, we're going to tell everybody about you, and we're going to make most of it up. How many of you realize how prevalent that is in our culture right now? From the top all the way down to the bottom. If you don't come in line with what our agenda is, we're going to make up stories about you, and this is going to happen. Well, that's the way the enemy works. But the fifth time the enemy approached Nehemiah, it was with an open letter accusing him of stirring up the people to rebel against the king. They had hinted at Jewish insurrection before the project had even begun. If you back up and look in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, "But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. 'What is this you are doing?' they asked. 'Are you rebelling against the king?' Perhaps borrowing this idea from the people who had stopped the building of the temple years before." Let's put this together. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles with you, to Ezra chapter 4. Let's put this together. We're going to connect the dots in the Word of God. And we're going to read that chapter in its entirety. So bear with me, because that's a mouthful. 24 verses, I counted. Like I said, the Word preaches. So check this out. When the enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the exiles were building a temple for the Lord, the God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and to the heads of the families and said, "Let us help you build, because like you, we seek your God and have been sacrificing to him since the time as Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, who with us is building a temple to our God. We alone will build it for the Lord, the God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, commanded us." Then the people around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and make them afraid to go on building. They hired counselors to work against them and frustrate their plans during the entire reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, and down to the reign of Darius, king of Persia. At the beginning of the reign of Xerxes, they lodged an accusation against the people of Judah and Jerusalem. And in the days of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Bishlam, Mithridath, Aramaic Mithridath, Tabal, and the rest of the associates wrote a letter to Artaxerxes. The letter was written in Aramaic script and in the Aramaic language. I told you, pray for me. I'm praying right now. You ought to try to tackle these names, man. where was it? Eight. Rahab, the commanding officer, and Shimshai, the secretary, wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes, the king, as follows. Rahab, the commanding officer, and Shimshai, the secretary, together with the rest of their other associates, the judges and officials over the men of Tripolis, Persia, Erech, and Babylon, the Elamites of Susa, and the other people whom the great and honorable Ashurbanipal deported and settled in the city of Samaria and elsewhere in Trans-Euphrates. This is a copy of the letter they sent him. To King Xerxes, from your servants, the men of Trans-Euphrates, the king should know that the Jews who came up to us from you have gone to Jerusalem and are rebuilding that rebellious and wicked city. They are restoring the walls and repairing the foundations. Furthermore, the king should know that if this city is built and its walls are restored, no more taxes, tribute, or duty will be paid, and the royal revenues will suffer. Now, since we are under obligation to the palace, and it is not proper for us to see the king dishonored, we are sending this message to inform the king, so that a search may be made in the archives of your predecessors. In these records, you will find that this city is a rebellious city, troublesome to kings and provinces, a place of rebellion from ancient times. That is why this city was destroyed. We inform the king that if this city is built and its walls are restored, you will be left with nothing in Trans-Euphrates. The king sent this reply to Rahab, the commanding officer, Shimshai, the secretary, and the rest of their associates living in Samaria and elsewhere in Trans-Euphrates. Greetings. The letter you sent us has been read and translated in my presence. I issued an order and a search was made, and it was found that this city has a long history of revolt against kings and has been a place of rebellion and sedition. Jerusalem has had powerful kings ruling over the whole of Trans-Euphrates, and taxes, tribute, and duty were paid to them. Now issue an order to these men to stop work, so that this city will not be built until ISO order. Be careful not to neglect this matter. Why let this threat grow to the detriment of the royal interests? As soon as the copy of the letter of King Xerxes was read to Rehum and Shimshai, the secretary, and their associates, they went immediately to the Jews in Jerusalem and compelled them by force to stop. Thus, the work on the house of God in Jerusalem came to a standstill until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Man, when we read that, there are so many parallels that go through my mind that are happening even now, all these years later, thousands of years later. Here we are, we're in a very similar situation. We have evil people under the power of the spirit of the devil that are trying to hinder what God is doing. Now, in this instance, for a season, only because God allowed it, the building of the temple was stopped. Only because God allowed it. Not because the devil and his minions are greater than God. Let's make that clear. But because God allowed it to accomplish his grand purpose over a period of time. So, throughout time, the enemy has been using this tactic. How many of you have had it used against you in the workplace and other places in life? How many of you have endured that? Well, I want to tell you something. I have too. But I've never endured it as greatly as for the last 25 years when I've been pastoring. The enemy loves to attack pastors, to bring discouragement, to bring a discrediting, to put people in a pastors in a bad light before the people. We see this very same thing happening. Even our Lord was accused by his enemies of promoting sedition. Now you all know Jesus never did any such thing. As well as the account we see here, they were not planning sedition. They were obeying God and doing what God had given them to do in God's plan. Well, Jesus obviously came for a reason. And he was on a mission, right? He was on a mission to save lost humanity. Luke 23, verses 1 through 5. Luke 23, verses 1 through 5. Beginning to read. Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Christ, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." So there it is. There it is, mounting up the lies against Jesus, setting him up. And once again, God allowed it. Why? Because it was in God's plan that when Jesus would die on the cross of Calvary, that he would be crucified, that he would be whipped on the way there, and those whippings provide healing for us. All right? God had a plan. He allowed them to take that as far as they did. But it came from the enemy. You need to understand something. When Jesus died on the cross and was laid in the tomb, Satan thought he had won. And he had just lost. Because 3 days and an empty grave. You know, that's what sets Christianity apart from every other religion on the earth. That sets it apart. 3 days in a grave and an empty tomb. That's it. Absolutely sets Christianity apart from every other religion in the world. Jesus Christ, knowing full well he would pay that ultimate price, came to earth, lived for 33 and a half years, and then gave his life. God's design. The enemy, through people, did everything he could to hinder that. He does everything he can to hinder, as we read in Ezra 4, the rebuilding of the temple. The enemy has done everything he could to keep us from having a secure border for this nation. Because what has come across our border, no one knows. We have an idea, and we know that many of them are not good, and they are not friends to American people. Many that want to do harm to the people of this nation. Take a look at what's happening at the Olympics. You want to see evil on display? Take a look at what's happening in the Olympics. And nothing is said. Oh, they're all about it. Not lying about the people who did that. But they'll lie about righteous people. Accuse them. Slander them, which is what this message is about. Satan loves to use this deception of slander against God's people. It would be considered a serious charge in Nehemiah's day because Persian kings tolerated no resistance from their subjects. Any hint of rebellion was immediately and ruthlessly put down. Ultimately, what they really wanted was for the king to put these people to death. Didn't want Nehemiah anymore. Didn't want Trump anymore. Want him off the face of the earth. You see the correlations? God's got his hand on somebody and the enemy turns on him. It's interesting to see how often the enemy uses letters in their attacks against the work. Isn't it something as we've read in Nehemiah and we've read in Ezra, read that whole chapter? Pretty interesting how they used letters. Today it's emails. It's so much easier. Slander at the tips of a couple fingers. Not only email, social media. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Every time you type something and push send, think about what you're doing. Is this something that God will be proud of me for? Is this slanderous? Really important we stop and think before we push send. An open letter to a royal governor would be both intimidating and insulting. Letters to officials were rolled up and secured with seals so that only those with authority could open and read them. Sanballat wanted the public to know the contents of the letter because he hoped to undermine Nehemiah's reputation and authority. Did you hear that? All of the time, the enemy works to undermine people's authority, God-given authority. It happens all the time. And destroying reputation. And if some of the Jewish workers believed what was in the letter, Sanballat could organize them and create division within the ranks. It was a splendid opportunity for the enemy to divide and conquer. Guys, I'm not a newbie in Christ anymore. I've been walking with Jesus now for 42 years, man, four decades. I'm wired in such a way, I'm a type A personality. You might look at me and say, well, he don't have a clue what's going on, but I want you to understand something. You're wrong. Because God made me the kind of person that I'm always paying attention to what's going on around me. That's the way I'm wired. Well, in paying attention to what's going on around me since I got saved, I have seen a lot of horrific things happen in and to churches. It's sickening. A gentleman that I haven't really had any contact with him of late, but there was a season in my life that I had contact with him that pastored a big church in the Quad Cities. I don't know if you would call it a mega church, but it was a church of about 1,500, so it was definitely a big church. And right under his nose, there was a staff pastor that worked quietly to undermine him. And overnight, left with no warning and took 300 people, most of them leaders, out of his church. Had lied about him, had been working for months, working the plan to undermine the pastor of his church. And by the way, he is a good man. He is a good man. The people that did this to him, if they haven't begun already to pay the price, they will. Because you don't do that stuff to God's people. You don't get away with it. So I've seen this stuff. So when I stand here and I'm preaching these messages about deception, it's not just something I've read about. I've been seeing it and I've been living it for four decades. I've had the attacks in my own life. I recently had one. Someone was disgruntled with me, so they turned to contacting a couple of the leaders in this church, trying to stir up trouble. On the surface, what they texted to the person seemed like it might be real, but it wasn't. What it boils down to was trying to make me look like a mean pastor. Nothing further from the truth. I had been kind and ministered to this person. But we came to a crossroads where I gave some a little bit of direction and they didn't like it. So, turned on me. Wasn't even a person that's in this church now. Used to be. They used to be in this church. But wasn't even a person that's actively part of this church. And just decided to take it out upon themselves because they weren't happy with my response. And just decided to try to erode my image in this church, starting with a couple of the leaders in the church. And those leaders are here now, and they know what I'm talking about. I know they do. It was wrong. Enemy's fingerprints were all over it. Slander. 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 The enemy uses that deception. Do you realize because of the slander that's been taking place for 8 years, that there's an astronomical amount of people that absolutely hate Donald Trump and they don't even know him, because they have believed the propaganda, the slander that has been spread about him. Now, albeit, he's got a pretty abrasive personality and I wouldn't want him for a friend. Okay? So let's just put it out there. I wouldn't want him for a friend because he's got a very abrasive personality. But God's got it. This I know. God's got his hand on him. And his policies are what we needed and what we need again. You understand what I'm saying? When we go to the voting booth, we had best not be voting for personalities. That's how we've gotten in the situation we're in. We had best be voting policies and doing the best we can to vote policies that line up with God's word rather than with the woke agenda that's spreading throughout this earth. Slander. Slander has manipulated all kinds of people. And they go to the voting booth and they, because of what they've heard and their voting personality, and they put a mark down that is going to take this nation down if it happens. I'm still standing on what God spoke to me, by the way. Almost 4 years ago. God hasn't spoken anything different to me, so I'm standing on that. Until he speaks something different to me, I'm standing. Am I crazy, guys, or do you see these correlations?
It's the world, it's crazy.
The enemy has not changed his tactics. All of these years, he's not changed his tactics. Why do you think he hasn't changed his tactics? Because they work for him. They've been working for him. People are subject to wanting some good gossip. Statements like, did you notice? Here's a statement. It's been reported. Oh, really? Oh, really? Okay. First of all, who reported it? And second, who they report it to? Give me names. Don't exist. Made it up out of their head, like Nehemiah said, right? Didn't we read it together? Nehemiah said, no such thing is happening. You made this up out of your head. Yep. Still today, make it up out of their head, the slander. And another one is, okay, it's been reported, but then another one is, they say. Yeah. What I've experienced in my life is a lot of, you know, people are saying, don't come to me and say that, because I'm going to respond this way. Oh, really? Who? Since you've decided to bring this up to me, and you're going to burden me with something, I know you are, because that's what people do. Before you go dumping this on me, you tell me who the people are that are saying, and then you and I can talk. If you can't tell me who said what, then I don't want to hear it. You got it? Because all it does is trouble me. Does that make sense to you? So, statements like it's been reported, they say, and people are saying, has caused trouble in many local churches and other ministries for a long time. In every organization, there are gossip mongers hovering like vultures, just waiting for tidbits of slander that they can chew, swallow, and then regurgitate. An anonymous person has defined gossip as, listen to this, News you have to hurry and tell somebody, tell somebody else before you find out it isn't true. Isn't that good? I wish I knew who the anonymous person was. I think they probably wanted to remain anonymous with that statement because they didn't want somebody saying, somebody said. News you have to hurry and tell somebody else before you find out it isn't true. Boy, oh boy. That's radical. I would rather play with forked lightning or take in my hands live wires with their fiery current, said a man by the name of A.B. Simpson, founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, than speak a reckless word against any servant of Christ or idly repeat the slanderous darts which thousands of Christians are hurling on others to the hurt of their own souls and bodies. You think he didn't think slander was a good idea? Don't allow the deception of slander to manipulate you. And do not allow the enemy to use you to be a slanderous gossip. Don't let him, because it don't end well. Not only did his enemies falsely accuse Nehemiah of fomenting rebellion, but they also said he was planning to make himself king and had prophets prepared to announce his coronation. Isn't that interesting? He had done no such thing. What has the left said about previous President Donald Trump? Well, he's trying to make himself a king. He's a threat to democracy. Am I right? Nothing is further from the truth. Those statements are not true. His policies are in line with our Constitution. They're in line with the functioning democracy that is rooted, and by the way, our democracy only works when Christianity, Christ, is at the core of it. That is the only way the democracy that our forefathers founded for us works, is when it is founded in Christianity. But there's this whole woke movement to get people off of Christianity, and so they are trying to build a new kind of democracy that accommodates socialism. If you don't believe me, you better go do your homework, because I'm telling you the truth, guys. They're not going to tell you that on CNN. They're not going to tell you that on MSNBC. They're not going to tell you that on CBS. They're not going to tell you that on CBN. Can I go on? I think you got the idea. You got to dig. You got to do some research. Ask God to direct you. He'll lead you to truth. Don't be taken in by the deception of slander. They're slandering everybody they don't like. They've started in, have you noticed the last couple of months, they've started in on our Supreme Court judges. Only the conservative ones, though. The liberal ones are just fine. The conservative ones, oh, they're going to destroy our democracy. If this report got back to the Persian king, there would be immediate problems. And that would be the end of the Jerusalem project. Christian leaders must know how to handle false accusations, vicious letters, unfounded press reports, and gossip. Otherwise, these devilish weapons will so upset them that they will lose their perspective and spend so much time defending themselves that they will neglect their work. You know, a few years ago, I went through a time where I was being attacked from every angle. It was coming from everywhere. I felt like the whole world was against me. I knew it was the enemy, but that didn't make it any easier, just knowing it was the enemy. You still go through it. Even if you know where it's coming from, you go through it. Okay? Well, finally, a well-meaning parishioner that saw it happening came to me and said, "Pastor Wayne, why won't you defend yourself against these accusations?" And I simply told them that God is my vindicator. If I spend all of my time and resources trying to defend myself against slander, my eyes will be off of the goal. I'm just trying to keep my eyes on the goal and finish the call that God's got for my life. I am going to spend all my time defending myself. My God's got my back. His glory is my rear guard. So Nehemiah didn't make that mistake either. He simply denied the reports, prayed to God for strength, and went back to work. He's like, "I got work to do. I got time for all this. I'll give it over to the Lord and hand me that shovel." I like a man like that. How about you? He knew that his character was such that no honest person would believe the false reports. Think about that statement a minute. No honest person would believe the false reports. No honest person would believe the false reports. Had someone come to me a few years ago too, "Pastor Wayne, I heard this." "Yeah? Well, if you believe that, then you don't know me at all." That's what I told him. "If you believe that, then you don't know me at all." Because it was so crazy, I had a hard time keeping from laughing. It was that ridiculous. On more than one occasion, Bible teacher G. Campbell Morgan was the target of savage gossip that accused him of unfaithfulness to the Christian faith. His usual approach was to say, "It will blow over. Meanwhile, I go quietly on with my work." So there it is again from another guy. Again, that was a guy, a Bible teacher by the name of G. Campbell Morgan. He just said, "I'm going to bother myself with it. I'm going to work." We had a lot to learn about that in just rejecting slander. Just guard your heart. We're told in the Word of God to guard our heart. Why? Because out of it flows the wellspring of life. And the enemy wants to get our heart so burdened that it stops up the wellspring of life that is supposed to flow through us. We can get so caught up in defending ourselves, which is what the enemy wants, that we never get in a situation where we lead someone else to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, which is the number one reason we're here. To lead people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I think Nehemiah would have approved of G. Campbell Morgan's approach, don't you? It was the same approach that Nehemiah made. Did you get something out of this? Don't let slander drag you down, and don't let it get you into a situation where you get your eyes off the prize and you quit running the race. Run the race with fervor. Don't be distracted. Guard your heart. Just reject the slander. Don't give it a home. Proverbs 26:2 says, like a darting swallow, an undeserved curse cannot come to rest. So that's our message. Let's see you into part 3. Lord willing, if we're still here, next week, part 4. All right? Let's stand together, if you will. Is there anyone here this morning that would say, I have never made Jesus my Lord and Savior? If that's you and you would like to do that this morning, would you just slip your hand up, stick it up there high so I can see it? All right, one more question. If you're here and you say to yourself, man, I needed that message, stick your hand up there. Amen. Praise God. Lots of hands. That's awesome. Well, Father God, I just pray for each and every one of us here today. We've heard your word. Lord, your word speaks to us. We pray, Lord, that we would walk in the wisdom that we have gleaned from your word today throughout this coming week and beyond. That, Lord, we will be privy to the deceptions that the enemy is using to defile us, really. And we just pray in Jesus' name that we'll keep our eyes on the prize, the goal, Lord God, to spend eternity with you. And we just pray, Lord, that all of us, every single one of us, would be fervent and focused in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. We love you.